Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, is the visibility of Muslims in the months of Ramadan a factor in the increased hate crimes?
A number of news reports exposed a new chain of attacks against Muslims in the US during the months of July and August this year. A mosque in Missouri was subjected to an arson attack twice in 1 month. Muslims attending a congregational prayer in a public field were shocked to find strips of bacon scattered across the site. A bottle filled with acid and other chemicals was thrown at a private Muslim school. The Sikh community has also been affected by the hate crimes. Attackers may not be able to identify the difference between the Sikh and Muslim communities. In the latest attack, 6 Sikh worshippers were murdered and 30 injured in a shooting rampage at a temple in Wisconsin. Increases in these anti-Islamic attacks are noticeable during prominent periods for the Muslim community. This week's Islam and Life asks, is the visibility of Muslims in the month of Ramadan a factor in the increased hate crimes?
This is a question which is quite important because beyond what is happening during the months of Ramadan, just before, just after, there is a factor here which is everywhere. We have seen what happened in the States, but we know that in European countries, in the UK, in France, in Switzerland, in many other places, the presence of the Muslims, when it is a visible presence, is creating problems. So much so that some scholars even were saying to the Muslims, the best for you is to become invisible because this visibility is a problem. Another answer is, or could be, that it's not the visibility of the problem, is the understanding of Islam, is mutual respect, is the changes within the Western societies in the States as well as in Europe. This is a big question. So what are the causes and the reasons? Why is it that we have now hate crimes, people being killed, and sometimes confused between you have the Sikh and people believing that they are targeting the Muslims and targeting other peoples, as if we are mixing and confusing between immigrants, Muslims, people who look like Muslims. These are questions about our pluralistic societies in the West. What could be the future? How do we deal with this? And how do we deal with this visibility of Muslims? To answer all these questions, I'm joined by the director of Faith Matters organization, Fayaz Mughal. Thank you for being with us today. You have been working on the ground. You know what is happening in the UK, also in Europe, and what we have heard about what is happening in the States. And there is something which is quite important. It's clear that during Ramadan, because of the mosques, because of the fact that Muslims are praying and fasting, they are more visible. But yet, we heard about the headscarves in France. We heard about the minarets in Switzerland. The visibility factor seems to be essential here. So how would you assess this?
I think there's two issues with it. First, I think the host company is ill at ease with itself, actually. There's something about the host nation or the host set of communities not being able to engage themselves. That's the first thing. So there's something about being ill at ease with diversity and pluralism. We have to acknowledge that. The second thing is how to also accept that equality for Muslims and other groups is where the nation state should be. So Europe and European lawmakers will talk about equality, but at a community level, how you implement or get a mindset change towards equality for Muslim and other communities is where there's a big parallel shift, is where there's a big gulf right now. And I guess third thing about for Muslim communities is how do they engage and quickly engage and also change perceptions whilst also making people feel at ease, which may be due to their own prejudices, but how do you make people feel at ease? We live in a world where we have to deal with prejudiced people sometimes. How do we make people understand that?
Yeah, so let me come to the first point that you were making, because this, what we hear from people living in the West, and you know, recently I was in the States and talking about these hate crimes, what I got from some people is to say, look, you are dealing here with a society which is used to pluralism. It's not new. It's an immigrant country or a country of immigrants. Historically speaking, they are right. And say, in fact, it's not us who have a problem with pluralism, because this is the very essence of the United States. You come to the UK, you will find exactly the same. In France and even, you know, they are saying, you know, it's the country of human rights. We know how to deal with diversity. In the Netherlands, what I heard when we had this populist party coming was Geert Wilders saying, it's a liberal society, so don't lecture us about, you know, pluralism, because we know what it means. The question is not us. The question is this visible Muslims. Mm. They are visible because they don't want to become like us. Mm. So this visibility is just the sign of their differences, and they are not willing to integrate or to assimilate if you come to some discourses that we have. What would be your answer on this?
This is interesting, because if their target is Muslim communities, then why is their target then not Sikh communities who are also visibly different?
But it happened even in
But this, it, unfortunately yeah. it happened. Then their target is not Jewish communities, but the Jewish communities have suffered anti-Semitism. Hmm. So actually the argument doesn't stand up. You've had anti-Semitism for hundreds, if not nearly 1,000 years in this country. You've had attacks on Sikh communities in the US. So actually these communities can't quite grapple with difference. They talk about they can grapple with difference. America's quite a closed-off society. I mean, you will know. Hmm. You know, America's a large country, but they don't really look externally, they look internally. Europe and Denmark and the Netherlands has really not been able to deal with different communities from Africa, from North Africa, etc. When it talks about liberal society, pretty much its liberalism is about values which are based on what it regards as European values. Similar values to what migrants want, there's no real difference here. But actually, it's still saying you either assimilate to us or you leave. It's not about integration and understanding. It's about assimilation. Be like us, change your dress, or effectively leave. Mm-hmm. And that's not an understanding of equality. That's not an understanding of pluralism. It's also not an understanding that actually communities will integrate over time, but you need to give them the opportunity to mix with you. Many of these communities in Europe will say, we don't want to mix with them. So it's actually a two-way street.
And something which is still very important is that even with the past immigration processes that we had, very often the people from within from within Europe or from the same cultural background were coming. So the visibility was not very much there. And even now, today, some Polish people coming to the West would say, we don't have the same problem as Arabs or as Pakistani, because there is something which has to do with color, skin color. It has to do with
religion.
The perception that Islam is alien to the West. So this is something which, okay, we can take this. Now, what would you say to people saying, because it can explain from this rejection to sometimes hatred and violence, people saying, look, I'm in my streets, I'm used to synagogues, I'm used to churches, I'm used to people who can dress like Jews or like priests, that's all fine. Now I'm looking at my streets and I don't recognize my streets because I have people having other religious practices, other cultures. Mm. So once again, it's a very basic statement coming from ordinary citizens. And we cannot just dismiss this by saying they are all racist. They are making a point, I don't acknowledge my street. Yeah. So how would you answer to this?
This is very important. There's two things here. Yes, there have been changes in parts of this country which have been phenomenal changes over the last 15 years. And we can agree to some of those discussions. How do you get people to play a proactive role in your community but also allay your fears is very important for Muslim communities to undertake. Hmm. We have there's a certain laissez-faire approach in Muslim communities that actually leave it, it will go away, that actually people will start to accept us. That's not going to be the case. Hmm. The case of the matter is there are two courses to take. Either Muslim communities are proactive and say, let's engage, let's get people into the masjid to have a look at the masjid, let's get people to use our services in the mosque as a community hub, to take a proactive inclusion approach. Otherwise, what happens with people is if you don't engage with them, they start building more and more mental barriers. And that layer and layer of mental barrier then leads towards hate, where even the chance of engagement is lost. It's very important, and that's where the hate we are starting to see builds up, is when layer upon layer of superficial stereotyping of Muslims and Islam just builds up. It's never been unchecked. It's never been tapped into. It's never been engaged with. Moves in towards the hate direction. And then that person, when they're tried to engage with, or when Muslims try to engage with them, there's no way, they will not listen. So I guess that this is not a static approach, that things will happen over time. A dynamic approach for Muslim communities.
This is what you were talking about when you said it's a two-way.
It's a two-way street.
Yes. But what would you respond to some Muslims telling you, and this was said to me many times, look, you have been engaging with the society. You call for Muslims to be European or Western and to deal with the society. All what you are doing is just connection, speak out.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself being isolated or being rejected by the society. At the end of the day, with all what you have been saying over 30 years, you are still rejected. The people are not ready to listen to you. So why should we try to do what you have been doing? They were talking to me, connecting with the society, and at the end, you are rejected. They say double talk. They don't want to listen to you, and still, you are perceived as not a good Western citizen.
Yeah.
Why don't we decide to isolate ourselves? This is our right. So why should we try to talk to people? Our visibility is our visibility, like it or not. We are here, and this is our, these are our rights. What would be your answer to this?
You see, Tariq, I think your approach is one of a number of approaches. It's quite a powerful approach in your life you've taken, which actually has been an antidote to some of the poison that could really have hit the Muslim community. This is what people need to understand. Individuals like yourselves who talk about integration, being part of society, developing themselves as part of a cohesive, progressive society in Europe, has been an antidote to those who have tried to segment us, who are outside of the Muslim community, who have tried to pathologize the Muslim community. So actually, your role has been fundamental in still gluing the communities.
But still, we have hatred, crimes, and this is what is happening.
We still have hatred because there are people who are well-resourced, moneyed, well-motivated, who we see get up day and night. Literally, they get up in the morning, they'll start social media against Muslims, who will put up websites against Muslims, you know, the YouTube, who will spread poison, who are very methodical in how they work. And if we, people like you, are not there, the situation would be far worse, believe me. And so the key thing is more and more Muslims need to stand up and say, actually, I need to be proactive to do something positive, whether it's engagement, whether it's putting messages on the web, whether it's social media messages. We have to build a momentum against those who are actively working behind the scenes, and they are very focused. They are very dangerous and very focused.
Who are these people you are talking about? Because are they only people who are populist, who are people who hate Muslims and hate Islam? Because this is what we can also, in some literalist trend, the people who are called and known as the Salafi literalist, very often they say, because they are non-Muslims, they reject Islam. They are, because they are kuffar, this is the way they portray them, so people who are denying or rejecting Islam or not believing in Islam, they will be against Muslims. Who are you talking about when you say people who are very well organized and they are nurturing this hatred?
They're nurturing this hatred. We have people in the United States, the Pamela Gellers of this world, the Pamela Gellers from the Stop the Islamization of America. We have got individuals now, that group, and there are hundreds of different small organized factions from the evangelical wing in the US through to the Pamela Geller and other brigade. We have the EDL, which potentially, allegedly, may be receiving resources from America. Now you can see networks starting to develop, not only resources, but messaging from people in the US, i.e., the Quran says this, why don't you twist it in a certain way? So there's actually a campaign behind the scenes to be able to manipulate theological text. This goes from here, from US to Europe, but we're in the middle of it. So anything in between crosses us.
So why are they targeting Muslims and Islam? Why Islam today?
Why? Because the visibility issue.
Yeah.
One is the visibility issue. Two is they fear the ability to actually absorb and integrate other communities. They don't want integration. These people want assimilation. Be like us or don't be like us and go away. The third thing is that they actually look and they play this very nasty thing, which is very poisonous. The narrative reminds me of pre-Holocaust days, the demographic time bomb. Muslims are breeding more. This is what the Nazis said of the Jews. The same thing. They're using that. They're breeding more, so they'll take over. This warped, twisted perception. And really, they build these kind of layers of fear. And I was reading what they were saying of your press in the US. When you were speaking in the US, I read a blog of very nasty right-wing populist website that said that you were saying double speak, yet you're talking straight facts about integration, about being proud of your identity. So whatever we say is twisted.
Exactly, yeah.
And we are in a world where if Muslims do not become socially active, then the twisted narratives will become fact instead of fiction.
Yes.
This is very important.
Yes. That's a very important point. Let me come to now, we were talking about hatred and crimes and people being killed, and sometimes the treatment is just from anything which is said in the media to what is happening in the streets. Now, Muslims are facing hatred, and it's happening everywhere in the West. What you have been doing over the last years, your point is accept being visible, be visible in a positive, contractive way. Okay, that's a fact, and this is what you are promoting. At the same time, I would say exactly the same, but there is a price, and this price could be hate, crimes, and people being injured. What should the Muslims do as citizens in the West, in the States or here, and what is the answer to people or these people you are talking about who have an agenda?
Good point. The answer is pretty simple. If you are attacked, report it in. Let's start with the basic. Don't accept that this is part of life, because it's not acceptable, and there are laws that can protect you as a victim of this crime. The second thing is that for a lot of Muslims, what they can do is not only report it, that there are mechanisms by which they can get prosecutions on some of these cases. So prosecuting these people, whether it's because of online activity or street-based activity, is very important.
So where should they go? For example, ordinary Muslims, they find out that there is something against them or against
if there's something
Muslims.
If there's something online on Facebook, for Facebook, Twitter is very difficult. Twitter is playing a very, very interesting game here. On Facebook, there will be buttons. There are plenty of anti-Islamic Facebook sites there. You can report it to Facebook. Report it to Facebook, and if 100 reports go in, they'll take the page down.
Yeah.
And that's one mechanism. The second mechanism, if it's a Twitter report that is anti-Islamic or inciting hate, then you can send it to the police, which have an online reporting form. Send it, just put in hate crimes. You on the first link, you can report the hate incident through online.
Yes.
The police will pick it up.
Just one thing that you are not mentioning here is YouTube. And you know, we had a video and people are saying, no, YouTube and Google say no. If you are not going through the court and the trial, we are going to keep it. So how can we do this?
Now, this is another thing. There's two ways. One, I think, is if YouTube doesn't pick it up, then we should report it in through the police sites. And when we report it in through the police sites, we should chase it up with the police.
Okay.
Don't leave it. If the police will get 50 or 60 reports of Muslims saying this is unacceptable because it's fomenting hate or it's inciting hate, we need to push that through. The other thing is there is a disparity in law which says it's okay to caricature religion. That's acceptable under law. But that law was not meant for groups like the EDL to manipulate the law, which they are. They've got solicitors.
The English Defence League, yes.
Yeah, the extreme right are being advised what they can say and what they can't say. Now, the fact is, over time, law in this country has to be very clear as to those groups which use or manipulate loopholes in the law. We need to look at what we do with that. It's not about closing down freedom of speech. It's about hate groups trying to manipulate the law to foment hate.
Just one thing, that because you were talking about people acting against the law, what if people are acting in the name of the law? You have now legislation in France. You cannot wear the headscarf. You have legislation. It's in the constitution, the Swiss constitution. No minarets, no visibility. So how can you deal with this?
I think the first thing is getting into the political system is very important. This is not about entryism. Then they'll say, oh, entryism, now Muslims are getting into the political. The fact is, if you are to create a change, the political system is very important. The second thing is, they need to challenge this legally. They need to challenge it. Muslim communities have a lot of resource. They need to put some of that resource into challenging what is a discriminatory law and looking at European human rights legislation in relation to this. It may be a goer, it may not be a goer, but looking at legal challenges and looking at also working with the politicians who are sympathetic to pluralism and diversity is extremely important. Mm. The key thing here, Tariq, which you've been doing, is to say we can make a change, get engaged, but be engaged and focused in your engagement, not one engagement and then I've had enough, I'm leaving. Mm. We can make a change legally, legislatively, lobbying, and in terms of our resources, donating to ensure that active organizations within Muslim communities who can make a change have the resources instead of having to go to government and say, can you give me money, or other sources. And that's half the challenge. But the result is in the hands of Muslims, actually. Mm-hmm. Muslims actually have their future in their hands. In the next 10 years, if they don't take that, there's going to be very real issues ahead. The next 10 years are going to be critical years to be able to change perception and ensure that the equality they deserve is actually at least discussed, if not implemented in countries.
Mm-hmm. You mean from within the society, so within the law?
Within the law.
Yes.
Within the law, within the structures, and within the frameworks and parameters of what the country allows. But if the framework and parameters are discriminatory, they should be legally challenged. Mm. Discrimination in legal forms is wrong. We need to say it.
Mm. Yes, this is a very important point. Let me just come to try to get what we said, because I think that there were very important points in what we were talking about. The first is there is a problem of visibility. If we understand that the visibility of Muslims is a sign that they don't want to be part of the society, the other interpretation and perception is exactly the opposite. They are visible because now they are here, they are going to stay. And as you said, it's a two-way process. It's something that it's very clear that we should get a self-critical approach within the Western society, because all this discussion about we are liberals and we are accepting everyone, when it comes to the ground, we can see that in history there are many, many history of racism and discrimination, as you were saying. Add to this that what should come from Muslims, which is never accepting anything which has to do with hatred. So when it's against the law, to use the law, and when it is within the law, to challenge the law when the law are discriminatory. So at any point to be engaged and committed, and not only among Muslims. And this is what you repeated, which is important to deal with non-Muslims, people who are sympathetic to anything which has to do with pluralism within the society. This is an important point, opening up towards the society. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you have seen or you would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Fayaz Bagul. Thank you so much for your insight and your experience, which is useful for all of us. And I hope to see you next week. Inshallah.